97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. That would be me. I got Kim St. Ange in here. Drew is in for Ethan this morning, who I have been told returns from his vacation tomorrow. Well rested, I'm sure, and hopefully had some of the same great weather we're talking about. You know, I was looking at the radar this morning, Kim. Dave Murray put out his forecast. There's a hurricane named Aaron that is headed towards South Florida right now. And I'm thinking, man, when I booked that cruise with my mom for last week, my biggest concern was, and I bought the insurance because my biggest concern was, you're right at the beginning of hurricane season.
Yep.
What if?
I know.
So it looks like we dodged that what if by about a week.
Well, I just think about what happened with us when my husband and I went on that.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Easton was like
6 months
old.
Right?
And yeah, we were there for maybe 24 hours and turn right back. And by the way, they wouldn't give us a refund on the hotel because they said that it wasn't a mandatory evacuation.
Oh, nice. Like,
oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. There was a hurricane coming in.
You know, just this
little nervous.
Tiny little thing like a hurricane. Yeah, this thing is looks like if it keeps on the current path, it's going to hit the Bahamas by the weekend. So back that up by 2 weeks. And it would, about the time we would have flown in, somebody's got a cruise booked for this coming weekend, and they're about to get hosed, it looks like, down in Florida. And we're not going to have any of those problems. We still got some decent St. Louis weather right now, for sure. A little cooler than normal. Hey, coming up, you know what? There's a problem with crime. Donald Trump's been talking about it. We've got a problem in our area as well. And what is that problem? The problem is we're soft on it. We've been getting softer for a long time, and not just in the adult criminal courts, but in the juvenile system. And now some local police chiefs are kind of pointing this out. They want the world to know that there's some things we could be doing here in Missouri to make this better. We're going to talk to Chief Kurt Frizz from St. Charles County with their ideas for juvenile reform so that you don't have a situation where you arrest some little punk, he gets a slap on the wrist, and the next day they arrest him again for the same crime because the courts won't, either they don't have the teeth in the law that they need, or the court system is ignoring the teeth that are there. There's no parental responsibility whatsoever. So we're going to talk to the chief on that coming up in the next hour. So stay tuned for that. We're going to get him on here about 7:20 this morning. The bottom of this hour, my friend John Lamping is going to join us, former Missouri State Senator. Lots of belly aching down in Texas over redistricting. Now, a couple years ago here in Missouri, we had an opportunity to do this. I listened to my friend Nick Schroer yesterday on Mark Reardon's show, and he was making this point as well. We tried to show them it just makes sense that Missouri should be a 7-to-1 state in our congressional districts. But again, the rhinos in Jeff City didn't have the intestinal fortitude to get that done. And now it looks like maybe there may be some movement toward that. I'm cautiously optimistic that we might be able to get that done because they're taking much bolder steps down in Texas. And we're going to talk to John about that possibility here at the bottom of the hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Right now, Drew, why don't we go ahead and get to our top stories, please?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Becoming a situation of complete and total lawlessness, and we're getting rid of the slums too. We have slums here. We're getting rid of them. I know it's not politically correct. You'll say, oh, so terrible. No, we're getting rid of the slums where they live.
That is what I voted for. Are you hearing that? That is what I voted for. I've been to D.C. enough time over the last 5 or 6 years to tell you it's become a slum in some areas because there are tent cities everywhere. And it's time to clean that mess up.
Four of the five seats we are adding are Hispanic majority seats that happen to vote Republican. Democrats are really upset about the fact is that their base voters, Hispanics and Democrats, are fleeing Democrats.
Yeah, the Governor Abbott is absolutely right. He's like, here's what are they mad about? These are predominantly Hispanic districts, and they're probably going to elect a Republican. That's what the Democrats are mad about.
We're making it possible to actually command decisively in the military, which is how you close with and destroy your enemy. We lost track of the basics, Laura. and we're restoring the basics at the Defense Department, maybe soon to be the War Department.
Ah, like it. Pete Hegseth there. They may rename that thing to the War Department as it always was until, I don't know what, 40, 50 years ago, they changed it to the Department of Defense. Is that more palatable? I don't think so.
While this action today is unsettling and unprecedented, I can't say that given some of the rhetoric of the past, that we're totally surprised.
Mayor Muriel Bowser does not like what's going on in Washington, D.C. She does not want the federal government to come in and clean up the mess that she was incapable or unwilling to clean up over the past couple years. And here's my point about this. And I think what's going on in D.C. is the exact same thing that's gone on in St. Louis. They are manipulating the crime numbers, in my opinion, to make them seem lower than they are. And the excuse has been, well, the way we count crime doesn't directly line up with the FBI uniform crime statistics approach. And therefore, not everything gets reported to the FBI crime statistics report. And therefore, we look better in the FBI uniform crime reporting statistics, right?
Yeah.
And I suspected that was the case. And then yesterday I heard a guy on, and let me find this bite here. I heard the guy on was it MSNBC? I don't know if I pulled the bite yet or not, but he pointed out the same thing. He said, I think Muriel Bowser hedged her comments yesterday because she knows the truth about those crime statistics. Remember, Tashara Jones wanted to argue that St. Louis crimes are down and there's no reason for a state takeover and blah, 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 blah. But in reality, those numbers were fudged a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They are. And it's like the point that Jeanine Pirro made yesterday, and that was, well, you know, it's fine for you to say that the numbers are down, but they're still unacceptable, and we don't have to live like this. And I think she's absolutely right. There's no reason for a big city like D.C. to live like that. There was a television news anchor on ABC, Kara Phillips, yesterday, who was basically making the same point. She's like, listen, I've lived in D.C. for years. She said yesterday, I was robbed just down the street from the bureau 2 years ago. And we had somebody's car stolen this morning. She admitted this on ABC News yesterday. I don't know Kara Phillips. I don't know anything about her. For ABC News to have one of their anchors agree with Donald Trump was a pretty stunning development. She's like, you can argue the crime numbers are down. Here's the truth.
We've been talking so much about the numbers, and yeah, usually that's how you play devil's advocate, is you talk about, oh, well, stats say crime is down. However, I can tell you firsthand here in downtown D.C. where we work, right here around our bureau, just in the past 6 months, you know, there were two people shot, one person died, literally two blocks down here from the bureau. It was within the last 2 years that I actually was jumped walking just two blocks down from here. And then just this morning, one of my coworkers said her car was stolen a block away from the bureau. So we can talk about the numbers going down, but crime is happening every single day because we're all experiencing it firsthand while working and living down here.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of reaction she received from her bosses or her coworkers.
I'm sure they don't want her to be honest about it.
Right.
But when I visited D.C. the last time, and I told Annie this when she went there, when she got to go up and be in the press briefing room a month or two ago, I'm like, listen, I'll just tell you what they told me when I went there. Griff Jenkins told me this, a couple of other people. Yes, there are some nice restaurants that aren't that far from your hotel. If I were you, if it's daylight, it's probably safe to walk to them. Take an Uber on your way back. Do not mm-hmm. walk back five city blocks from that restaurant to this hotel in the dark.
Wouldn't you say the same thing, though, about most of downtown St. Louis.
Parts of St. Louis.
Daylight, I'd probably be comfortable walking by myself. At night, there's no way. If I'm by myself, even maybe if I'm with somebody else,
yeah,
depending on who it is, am I walking even 5 blocks? Maybe I'm a baby about that, but I've seen too many things happening right here.
I think a lot of people safe. A lot of people feel that way, and there's no excuse for it. There really isn't, and I'm glad what the president's doing in D.C. Everybody who's claiming it's an overreach doesn't understand that D.C. is operated by Congress for the most part. They're funded by them, and they have a huge influence in the administration, a huge influence over what goes on there. So you just need to grow up and get over that one. Coming up. We're going to check in, speaking of that, with Ryan Schmelz, who's covering that story and the fallout from it in the nation's capital. He lives and works there. We'll get Ryan's take on it in just a few minutes. Bottom of the hour, John Lamping on the idea of switching Missouri to a 7-1 congressional map. Will it happen? We'll talk to John about it about 6:35.
The laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest. Intent to kill? I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation. Says you should go to college. We need to go after the D.C. Council and their absurd laws.
Yeah, Jeanine Pirro there, the U.S. attorney, talking yesterday at this news conference the president held on crime in the D.C. area. I mean, it was pretty wide-ranging. This thing went on for a long time. The president took all questions. Of course, a lot of it focused on his plans to clean up Metro D.C. We've got Ryan Schmelz on the line with us this morning from Fox News Radio. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So what we did, I think the bottom line is we determined yesterday the president does not want you as a reporter to be comfortable by building a big, beautiful briefing room.
Well, it's been that way for a long time. It's actually remodeled, actually. So that's the most comfortable it's ever been. But yes, it has always been a tight space. And I think that people always thought it was a lot bigger. But now that, you know, the room's gotten more people, and I think people are starting to see a lot more about how tight that space can be.
Well, you're in there more during this administration because Joe Biden rarely held news conferences.
Oh yeah, and you know, we've had it's just more people there in general. I mean, like, there has been you go there, it's a circus some days. Sure. There's so many press, and you know, they're utilizing the space more because a lot of times some of these officials will have a gaggle after they do a hit on one of the TV networks. So they'll set up all the cameras right outside where all the cameras are, and they'll come and do like a gaggle. So there's just so much more happening than what we're used to.
Ryan, do we have any details about how this whole plan will be rolled out?
From what I understand, Cash Patel had a briefing with some of his top officials yesterday to kind of go through kind of what the next steps are. We believe that eventually there will be 700 or 800 or so National Guard troops deployed to the area. And what they're going to be doing, I think it still remains to be seen. You know, there are some legal authorities that the National Guard and just the military in general don't have when it comes to, you know, making law enforcement arrests or doing crowd control or crime control. So what their specific job is going to be, I think we're still kind of trying to feel that out and see what that's going to be.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I'm interested in your take on it. I mentioned to Kim, I used to come up here for that Federation for American Immigration Reform conference every year.
Yeah.
And the last time I was in D.C., I remember having a conversation with a couple of the network reporters there, and I'm like, hey, what do you think of this restaurant or that restaurant? I was trying to figure out a place to go eat. And they're like, yeah, it's fine. It's about 6 blocks from your hotel. So if you're going before dark, it's probably safe to walk over there, but I would take an Uber home. Don't walk back from there in the dark. Like that was a couple of years ago when people were warning about that. What's your sense of living and working in that area?
I think that's kind of a sentiment that a lot of people feel. You know, I live in the Navy Yard area, which is where Nats Park is, and that's a place that has, I would say most days I feel safe, but we have a crime every once in a while, and it is just the wildest thing you'll ever see, the stuff that what happens. You know, we've had a couple fatal shootings at the Metro stop by in Navy Yard. We've had a shooting at the building across the street from me. And I believe there was another shooting over the weekend at one of the buildings here. So it's been happening. There certainly is a big concern that people have here. But what's interesting, too, is, you know, the teenagers that President Trump was referencing yesterday, Navy Yard actually went into a curfew recently for juveniles because that issue had become such a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the problem. We've had that here in St. Louis, and quite frankly, it doesn't do much. If it's not really enforced because they have bigger fish to fry, you're still going to have the crime. And so that's why I would argue that this is necessary, this federal takeover. Are they going to be there indefinitely? Is that the plan? There's no, you know, obviously we don't have an exact start date, but we don't have an end date either, right? It's just however long they're needed.
Legally, he has about 30 days without any type of congressional approval after that to take action here. So the clock is ticking when this official, you know, takeover of the D.C. Police Department goes into effect. So, you know, Congress gets back in a month, less than a month, I would say now, and they would probably have to extend it at some point. So he is a little limited in terms of how long he's allowed to do this for and what specifically he can do.
Yeah, very true. Well, Ryan, be safe up there, my friend. Thank you.
I'll do my best. Thank you. Thank you both.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Ryan Schmel's there up in D.C. this morning. He lives there. You were listening to him. He said he sees some crazy stuff not too far from the Capitol building. Honestly, it's not unlike St. Louis. And if you look at the overall crime stats, it's worse here technically than it is in D.C. statistically
per capita.
It's worse in St.
But,
Louis.
But
than
we
it
don't
is in
have
DC.
World leaders coming to St. Louis on a regular basis. We don't have the White House here. We don't have all these things that D.C. has.
But when we do, we clean up the homeless problem.
That's right. There's all of a sudden a project to restore the city hall.
All right. Coming up, we'll get to John Lamping, former state senator, on whether or not Missouri is likely to redistrict.
Well, to be clear, listen, all those big blue states, they've already gerrymandered. Look at the map of Illinois. Look at the map of California, New York, and Massachusetts, and so many other blue states. They gerrymandered a long time ago. They got nothing left with regard to what they can do. And know this, if California tries to gerrymander five more districts, listen, Texas has the ability to eliminate 10 Democrats in our state. We can play that game more than they can because they have fewer Republican districts in their states.
Yeah, Governor Abbott there talking about the criticism he's taking down there for maybe adding five congressional seats. I have a friend, Kurt Schwab, who's running in one of those districts, and he's pretty excited about the whole thing. It increases his odds of getting elected in the great state of Texas. So we're going to see what happens with that. But right now, Drew, let's get to our friend John Lamping, please.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
People keep looking to government for the answer, and government's the problem. Government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks. We'd never miss them.
Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want?
All right, John, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Mark, Kim, great to be with you this Tuesday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. You heard Greg Abbott there. I love what he's doing in Texas because really, Gavin Newsom, J.B. Pritzker, Kathy Hochul, they have nothing to complain about. They're hypocrites. They have gerrymandered their states to the greatest extent humanly possible.
Well, that's for sure. It's a game they've been playing for generations. I don't see where there's a whole lot of room in those states to add any more Democratic seats. And it is good to hear Abbott be so forceful. You know, it looks like they're going to add five or six seats, but if they wanted to go to the greatest extent that these Democratic states have done, like he said, it could add 10 more. So I think between this and redoing the census and not counting illegal citizens, illegal aliens for purposes of apportionment, you know, of number of House seats, I think Republicans are on the verge of majorities that they can sustain for quite some time.
What's not talked about, it seems like, enough is the fact that there's nothing unconstitutional about what they're doing. Because the biggest thing I hear a lot of these Democrats complaining about is, well, you're supposed to do this during the census. Well, sure, maybe this is how they've done it historically, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened outside of a census. And even if that weren't the case, they still can do this.
Right. And I think New York just did it 2 years ago. So and everywhere you turn and whenever they start to argue When they argue from Illinois, which is the most gerrymandered state in the country, they seem very hypocritical almost immediately. On some level, I almost feel like the press is starting to give up with some of the arguments that the left is making. It'll be interesting to see how quickly this can actually get done. This is a great time of the year to do things like this because it's a relatively quiet time, and it's far enough away from the elections of the midterms next year that by the time people go to vote next year, whatever goes on now will be way in the background and it won't be. But if there's a downside to any of this, it won't be able to be used. So I hope that they move quickly and between now and maybe October 1st, all this gets done.
Well, I feel pretty confident, John, that you and I talked about this a couple years ago when the Missouri legislature was considering a 7-1 map, and we just couldn't get some of the lily-livered politicians who claim to be Republicans in Jeff City to go along with it. And now suddenly there may be a change of heart. What do you think the odds are of that happening?
Well, I'm of the mindset. I mean, I kind of believe it when I see it. This is if you think about, you know, the map now is 6-2, so it's 75% to 25% representation. The state is 60-40, right? So I know, Mike Keogh is very uncomfortable doing things that are, partisan in nature. We've talked many times. He's not ideological in how he pursues politics, and he really completely tries to stay away from things that he considers partisan. He would tell you that he feels, I think privately, that 75-25, the current map, in his mind, is a partisan map because the Democrats are underrepresented as a percentage of their total vote. And I think, he can live with the way it is now because, the Democratic votes are concentrated in certain areas. To go to a 7-1 map, I think privately he's very against it and prefer not to do it. But I think he's going to have to do it, certainly if the president calls him and tells him he wants it to get done, he'll have to do it. And then politically, it could be a very, very important moment for him. And that my feelings about him as being not too partisan and not too ideological are feelings that are held by many Republicans. But if he steps up and does this act and pushes through the 7-1 map, I think he can point to that as a moment in time where he was partisan, he was Republican, he was red meat. And that he stood up for what most of Republican voters in Missouri would want. So, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it. It's uncharacteristic of him, but I'm hopeful that it does come to be. And there's no reason it shouldn't be. And I've seen a lot of the different versions of what a 7-1 map would look like. And essentially, it ensures that in all those seven districts that were mostly represented by either outer suburbs or rural areas, and that really is where the strength of our party exists. I think Ann Wagner's district would include western St. Louis County, but I think that it's more important that her district include more people that live outside of the urban suburban areas because that's really where our voters live.
Yeah. It's a good point.
You mentioned St. Louis County, and it'll be interesting to see how this whole race for county executive ends up playing out because, Dennis Hancock obviously has said that he is officially running, and we don't even know what will happen with Sam Page. He's facing these indictments, and I think his court hearing is scheduled for some time, I want to say, in September. How do you see this playing out?
I'll call it now. I've had an opportunity to get to know Brian Williams. He's a state senator from North St. Louis County, and I know him a little bit, but I also know a lot of people that have worked closely around the Capitol that have tremendous respect for him, and I feel it was just a matter of time before he would seek higher office. I don't think this race will be particularly close if he runs the campaign I expect him to run. As much as I'd love to see St. Louis County go back to the Republican side and have Dennis Hancock be the next county executive, we've had some tremendous county executive candidates over the last 10 or 20 years as the county has become more and more Democrat, and all of those fell short. Rick Stream, the most recent close outcome. And I think I think the door's probably closed for Republicans, and I can acknowledge political talent when I see it, and I think Brian Williams will win this race, And the only question in my mind is whether or not Paige bothers to even go through the primary when it becomes obvious that Brian will win. What you're going to see happen in this race is you'll see the number of candidates will increase dramatically, and that'll be an attempt to try to fracture the vote. Most certainly, the Paige camp will find an African-American candidate to put forward. Brian happens to be African-American. But I think when all is said and done, if he runs the race, I expect him to run. I don't think this will be particularly close.
Interesting. Maybe, and I'm just going to hold out hope here, that people get to the election box in the general election and they realize how the last two Democrat administrations ended in indictments and potentially prison time for both of them if Paige was to be convicted on these allegations. Maybe there is an opening here for Dennis Hancock. He said he's planning to reach out to those people who are Democrats who maybe are disenfranchised from what they've seen here.
Yeah, it could be. Though I think we're at a moment in time where somewhere along the way here, I think that Western St. Louis County needs to Western St. Louis County and maybe like Eureka, down that they all need to petition the state to annex themselves from St. Louis County and move into St. Charles County and Franklin County. As much as you and I can all look at the city and say, well, of course, no Republican can ever represent the city. It's only 10% Republican. 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, it was 35% Republican, and it just became inevitable that it no longer can be represented by a Republican. I think we're pretty much there in St. Louis County. I mean, think about it this way. Sam Page has been elected twice.
I know.
So what does that speak for the electorate? It means that, we as a country have separated ourselves into areas, and people that consider themselves left, far left, in the highly educated / elites that represent a big portion of the Democratic Party, they've all concentrated themselves in St. Louis City and primarily St. Louis County. So I just don't see where that's going to change anytime soon. Brian Williams is, obviously, I think he's a very effective and state senator. He represents the principles of the left, but he does it in such a way that I think if we ended up with him as our county executive, it wouldn't be horrible. Of course, I do recommend that most people that would have him as county executive would consider to move to St. Charles County.
There you go. You're the best advocate for that. We appreciate it. John, thank you.
Oh, great to be with you both. Take care.
You bet. Former Senator John Lamping there. He's right. I mean, St. Louis County is purple at best, maybe blue now. There's just no way around it. Dennis Hancock, who I supported this race, would need to get a lot of across the aisle support in order to win. It's an uphill battle, but he's not given up. I think that's the important thing. All right, coming up, we got in other news for you. Next hour, we'll talk to St. Charles County Chief Kurt Frizz on this effort to crack down more on juveniles who get a slap on the wrist and go out and repeat the same crimes over and over again. That's coming up at about 7:20. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Quite sure what was going on with the music.
But what
there.
Was that? What was this that, a Halloween that song?
It's the Rolling Stones, but it's long intro.
Oh, okay. All right. As a lot of them are. All right. I saw the memes before I realized that this had actually happened, that the first female ump played in the major was in a Major League Baseball game. I saw the memes of the lady throwing a guy out because he had disagreed with her in a dream she had the night before. So I just have to tell
so
you that
true.
In advance. And now I'm reading the story, and of course, OutKick, it depends on who you're reading it from, played it a little differently than everybody else. In the first game behind the plate, Jen Paywall was just a Powell, P-A-W-O-L. I don't know how you pronounce it. Jen Powell was just another MLB ump. Unless you look closely, and some of those pitches were 4 inches out of the box that she was calling strikes on. Now, I'm just saying, men and women look at things differently. What do you think, Kim?
I joked that it was going to be that she would call someone out because it was not what they said, but the way they said it. I know I've used that argument with my husband.
I know we can have some fun with it, but I don't know. I just didn't see they did apparently chart her calls after the game, and I wouldn't need an expert in here to comment on whether or not she did a good job or not. Yeah. So there you go.
Couldn't tell you either.
No.
Hey, do you hear that Paramount's going to be the new home of all, I guess, UFC events? This is starting next year. It's a 7-year agreement. Were you saying, Drew, it's an $8 billion merger?
Yeah, so $7.7 billion merger. They're going to put all the content on there. So it could be the death of pay-per-view. But they might do like one-off pay-per-views. But like outside of that, yeah.
Well, so in other words, they're giving up that revenue from pay-per-view, but they've got
$7.7 billion. I think they'll be happy with that, right?
That sounds like
I hope so.
Pretty good trade-off. And then, of course, the fees for Paramount are going to go up now, right? To be a subscriber to that.
And
that's
canceled.
What I hated when I was trying to figure out how to watch Yellowstone and all that other stuff. Every season, it seemed to be on a different channel.
Oh, I know.
That really pissed me off.
I know.
Because I'd wait till the night the thing was going to premiere, and then I'm looking for how I can watch it, and then I realize, wait a minute, I'm not subscribed to Paramount Plus.
But you can
I'm
do a free trial for 7 days, and then after that, it's like $150 for a month.
That is maddening to me. All right, well, you may go to work reporting to your boss one day, but find yourself reporting to a new person between you and your boss the next. This story is, they claim that it's a new way to do demotions. It's called layering. So in other words, you didn't get the promotion, but now you've just suddenly find somebody ahead of you in the pecking order.
You're reporting to a new boss
yes.
in between your old boss.
Yeah.
That's the layering.
So it's just sort of, basically what they're saying is it's a way for them to give you a message that maybe your future is not here.
Try harder.
You've been layered.
People listening right now are like, wait a minute.
Wait.
That just happened to me last
yeah.
week. I've been layered.
There's a term for it now.
Hey, real quickly, your dog Summers actually could be the next Air Bud star. Did you hear about this? They're
no,
on a
she
nationwide.
Couldn't.
Yeah, come on now, Mark.
She can't catch a ball.
She's so cute. It's a nationwide search to find the next basketball star. They're going to be coming out with some. What I don't even know what. How many Air Buds have been?
There've been
released?
A few.
A lot.
I know.
Okay, they're
I
doing
know.
Another one, of course. And your dog, if it's cute enough, and I guess if it could catch a ball, maybe
if
that's part of it.
Bounce a ball. Yeah, mine will not even. Mine's a retriever who won't retrieve a ball.
But she's such a sweet girl.
She's a sweet girl, but not the brightest bulb in the room, I can tell you that. Coming up, we're going to get to Kurt Frizz, the St. Charles County Police Chief. We'll talk a little bit more about what they'd like to do to increase penalties on juvenile offenders.
Get more at 971talk.com.